Let's pray together. So, Father in heaven, may those things that we just saw on the screen, the video, the words that we saw, Lord, may those things continually happen in our lives, that your name would be honored and highly respected among us, that your kingdom would come, your will would be done, that you would give us what we need for today, that you would forgive us our sins, and, Lord, make us able and ready to forgive others, that you would not lead us into temptation and into the wiles of the evil one. And as you do these things, O Lord, and respond to these kinds of prayers, that you would receive honor and glory and power both today and forever. And we pray this through the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you want to take out your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We've just seen those words on the screen, but you're welcome to have that passage open for you. Matthew chapter 6, you'll find there, starting at verse 9, the Matthew's rendition of the Lord's Prayer. And throughout the month of January, we are learning to pray. And we're trying to learn how to pray holistically, which means that we're hearing people like me talk about prayer, but we're also seeking to engage in prayer, to practice prayer. And this morning as well, toward the end of the message, I will encourage us to spend some time with others around us praying together. And as I think about holistic learning or holistic praying, both the learning, the hearing, but also the doing, I think about two kinds of people that I sometimes see at the Edmonds Community Pool that I go to from time to time. I see people who are in the pool. They're swimming and exercising, and it looks like they're exercising their bodies. And then I see other people. And I could be wrong, but I see some people, it looks like they spend the whole time in the hot tub. And sometimes I think, maybe they think, as long as I'm in the building, as long as I'm touching some water, as long as I'm watching other people exercise, then it's almost like I'm exercising. That's what it sometimes feels like to me. And I wonder if in the church, sometimes people have this as well, that as long as I'm in the building, as long as I sit when they tell me to sit and stand when they tell me to stand, and I'm watching people sing and pray, then it's almost like I'm singing and praying and worshiping. And this morning, I want to encourage us again to be people who are practicing. It sounds weird, but practicing and doing, especially this thing that we call prayer. To personally engage in prayer and not just sit in the hot tub. Last week we learned that prayer is almost like learning a second language, and that the best way we learn how to pray is to read and to listen to the Bible, that God is speaking to us through the Bible like a parent talks to his or her children. In the same way as God speaks to us, He wants us, He longs for us to speak to Him. And we learn the language of prayer as we read the Bible, especially books like the Psalms. We learn who God is. We learn who we are. We sometimes learn words and phrases that we can use in prayer. And then last week we also heard the amazing news that as we begin our prayers, Jesus says, don't pray, "Oh God." Don't pray, "Almighty God." Don't pray, "Oh, you infinite God." Jesus says when you pray, simply say, "Father," or "Father in heaven," which I say again this morning, such powerful language, such personal language. And I hope that we hear that as amazingly good news, that we have that kind of access to God by simply but very powerfully calling Him Father. This morning, we're going to look at the phrase, "Your kingdom come," or the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," and ask, what does that mean to pray, "Your kingdom come"? Now, I just note that as Jesus begins teaching us the Lord's Prayer, He's teaching us first focus on the things of God. We're going to get to our needs really soon in the Lord's Prayer. And the needs in the Lord's Prayer, our needs are very simple. Daily needs, daily bread. Forgive us our sins, help us to forgive others, and keep us from the evil one. Very simply. But as Jesus structures the Lord's Prayer, he says, before you get to those things, these things that we're typically praying about, first pray about God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. So first focus on the things of God. That's how I say it. Or as Jesus says at the end of Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God in your life, but also in your prayer life. Seek to be someone who, as you begin to pray, you're asking God about the hallowing of your name and the coming of your kingdom and the doing of your will on earth as it's done in heaven. Well, this morning, as we look at the phrase, your kingdom come, I want to suggest that it's very much connected to the next phrase, your will be done. So as we're praying, Lord, bring your kingdom. Maybe we have the image, bring your kingdom down. May it come down, or may it come into our lives. May it come into the earth or upon the earth. We're really praying, Lord, may your kingdom come so that your will is being done. And the image is, it's being done perfectly in heaven. The angels in heaven do God's will perfectly. That's the standard or the bar. And may your will be done now on the earth by us as it's being done in heaven. And as your will is being done, then your kingdom is coming. So God's will is, part of his will is that we love him. And as we love God, as we do this will of God, the kingdom of God is coming. And God's will is that we love each other. And as we love each other, the kingdom of God comes. And God's will is that we forgive each other. And as we forgive each other, the kingdom of God comes. And this morning I would say again, I think God's will is that we pray. And as we engage in prayer, the kingdom of God comes. This morning, I want to make a big deal about how big the kingdom is. But I don't want to neglect by saying that when we pray, your kingdom come, we include ourselves in the prayer. Your kingdom come is a big prayer, but it's also a prayer that says, let your kingdom come in my heart, in my life, in my speaking, in my thinking, in my feeling, in my doing. Now, this kingdom of God is actually a big theme, big topic. It's almost like a little iceberg, but a big iceberg. So when we see an iceberg, it looks big, but everything we see is above the water. Most of the iceberg is underneath the water. In the same way, I'll say a few things this morning about the kingdom of God, but I want to ask you to believe me that it's bigger than what I can say this morning, bigger than I think any one of us could say this morning. It's a major teaching of Jesus. In this book alone, the book of Matthew, more than 45 times, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And some people say this is the message of Jesus. He says in each of the Gospels, the kingdom is here, and I am bringing in the kingdom. And the kingdom is about preaching, but also about power. And people enter into this kingdom, and living in the kingdom of God is living life the way God wants us to live. The kingdom in chapter 13, the book of Matthew, is seen as a treasure. The kingdom is precious. The kingdom has a king. And the king of the kingdom is inviting people into his kingdom. And the image typically given is he invites us to a banquet. He invites us to a supper. And the king of the kingdom wants us to say yes. He wants us to say yes to his invitation. Now, I think I want to focus for a few moments on this word kingdom, because I think as we use it, The use of the word kingdom is intended to make our vision bigger. I realize we don't use, I don't think, the word kingdom very much these days. We don't talk much about kings and queens and emperors and kingdoms or realms. We're talking about these days countries and democracies and presidents and prime ministers and etc. But because that was such a big part of human history for so many years, and because, at least for some of us, the books we read or the movies we watch still go back to that theme, I think we can still connect with the word kingdom. Kingdom is meant to imply something big, a country, a realm, a large territory, a place to rule. And the kingdom of God is that place or that realm where God is ruling, where God is present. And the kingdom of God comes, especially when people acknowledge that God is king, they submit to his kingship, and they start living their lives as the king of the kingdom invites them to live their lives. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, I would say the kingdom of God enters our hearts, enters our lives, but we also are ushered into the kingdom. We're ushered into the big reality of what God is doing. And we find out that God's kingdom is a kingdom influencing, wanting to influence people, individuals, but also families and groups of people and nations and cultures. That God's kingdom, we can sometimes find it in a place, like in a church community, but also we find God at work in larger communities outside the walls of the church, or in cities or in countries, to the ends of the earth, I would say to the ends of the universe. God's kingdom is coming. When we find ourselves praying about the kingdom, we can pray locally, but we also find ourselves praying bigger, globally, thinking about shootings in Paris or killings in Nigeria or conflicts in Syria. The kingdom of God, as we think about it and pray about it, is meant to include all that we are, our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength, but also all that we do in the church, outside the church, parenting, grandparenting, work, recreation, movie watching, spending money, education, and the list goes on of all the ways, all the places, all the areas of our lives that God longs for his kingdom to come. This morning, especially, I want to encourage us as best as I can that when we pray your kingdom come, we're praying bigger than you or me. I really want us to get a vision for this morning. And I want to stress this because of what I consider an awful teaching in the church that I sometimes hear. I'm not thinking about anyone this morning, so in case you're worried about, did I hear from you? But I've sometimes heard people say or ask questions that lead them to teach something like, if you were the only person on the earth, Jesus would have died for you. If you were the only person who was going to commit themselves to God and to Jesus, maybe one of many, if you were the only one, Jesus Christ would have died for you. And this kind of teaching that Jesus would have died only for me if I was the only one living or the only one believing is, of course, supposed to make us feel like God really loves me. He really loves you. That's how much he loves you. He would have come just for you. This morning, I want to say that kind of teaching is not just awful. I call it wicked. Wicked kind of teaching to think that God would have come simply for us. This is not the kind of teaching or the kind of question that you would find in any kind of traditional African or Asian culture. you will find this teaching in very self-centered, individualistic cultures like North America. That's where we get this kind of teaching, that God would have sent his son only for you. And I want to say away with those kinds of questions and away with that kind of teaching, because I don't think it has entered the mind of God simply to save me or you. His plan and his mind has always been bigger, 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 bigger. And when we pray, your kingdom come, we can include ourselves. But I want to encourage us, don't be thinking about, God, just bring your kingdom to my life or my family. Your kingdom come is meant to get our eyes bigger, not just bless me, help me, heal me, support me, encourage me, oh God, but bigger than us. Now, I'm always thankful you listen as you do, but I know that sometimes just quiet or it looks like you're listening, I'm not sure if you always are. So let's do a little experiment this morning with our hands, if you're willing to. I want you to pretend for a few moments you're a horse, right? And you're supposed to be carrying or pulling a cart, or maybe a racer is on your back and you're in a race. And typically, I don't know horses very well, but my understanding is that they put the blinders on, right, on horses. Let's all try that for a few moments if you're willing to. Don't have to, just an invitation, all right? So some of us are already thinking about what does a horse sound like, you know, and maybe we're starting to feel like I want to run. We have the blinders on. Now, the blinders for a horse are very good, of course, because we don't want the horse to be looking around. We want the horse focused on the road or focused on the track. But I want to suggest to you that blinders for a person who's praying are not very helpful, right? We're not horses in a race. I think as Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, he wants us to take the blinders off. But so often I know for my prayer life, the blinders are on. And maybe I just need some help from my family. Because even when I pray at supper or at mealtimes, it's like, you know, Lord be with us and thank you for our day and blah, 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 blah. And it's all about me and about us. Now, that's not wrong. You got to hear me. It's not wrong. It's just not big enough. It's not what Jesus is teaching us. He's not saying, oh, pray about yourself and your family and make sure everything goes well. Bless us, bless us, bless us, Lord. That's not wrong, but it's meant to be bigger. So, prayers like bless me, help me, encourage me are all I would call maintenance prayers or status quo kind of prayers. But the kind of prayers that Jesus wants us to pray, longs for us to pray, I believe are kingdom-sized prayers. So I think about an example, if I were to be sick or someone's, you know, we have people in our church community who are sick. And I believe we should be praying for them. And I don't think it's wrong to pray, Lord, please heal them. I don't think that's wrong. But when we pray, your kingdom come, when we take the blinders off, I think our prayers should sound sometimes a bit more like this. Lord, heal this person so that they might return to the work and ministry you've given them to do. Now, maybe we say, well, that's what I mean when I say heal them. But I think sometimes it's good for us just to say that out loud. We're not asking you to heal them just for their sake, but we know you have work and ministry and plans for them that affect other people, so heal them or strengthen them that they might return to that work and continue all that you have in store for them. Or Lord, heal them that others might know how powerful and great you are. Or, Lord, heal them that during this time of sickness, and then we trust healing, they might grow in faith, in love, in joy. Heal them, O Lord. And if you don't heal them, then even in their sickness, may people know how great and powerful you are. May it be a season of faith for them. May they turn to you, O God. May maybe friends who visit them or family who visit them come to know you, O God. So, and I'm not saying these are, I think the kingdom-sized prayers could go on and get bigger, but I want to give us a sense that just to be focused on me, or even the seeming prayer request right in front of us, I want to ask me, take the blinders off and see bigger, see the implications of the things we're asking for. Seek in your heart, my heart, to pray bigger than what's right in front of us. I have a few examples here from the Bible. I just want to maybe look at two of them with you this morning. The first of them is from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. If you have a sermon outline, you can look at those passages if you want to, or look in your Bibles. It's verses 29 to 30, Acts chapter 4. I find this a remarkable prayer because the early church is being threatened by religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders. They're under attack. They're being told, don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. And we hear them praying, Lord, this is the early church, consider their threats, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, I find that astonishing because my prayer would be, Lord, get me out of here. Save me, help me, protect me. Help me flee out of Jerusalem, go somewhere where it's safe. But they pray for boldness to keep speaking truth into this city. And then they go on, stretch out your hand, O God, heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. So boldness for us, but also, Lord, bring power into this area. And then the passage says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they pray, and God answers what I would consider a kingdom-sized prayer. Or one more example from Exodus chapter 33. If any of you saw the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings, it's right at the end of the movie. Now that movie was like sort of crazy in some ways, sort of like the Noah movie. It's kind of like the Bible, but a lot not like the Bible. But at the end of the movie, we get that picture of Moses going on the mountain, and he's looking down below, and the people are worshiping the golden calf. And so they've been saved by God, but it seems like just a few days later, they're already worshiping other gods. And so Moses goes on the mountain, and God knows this, and God wants to wipe out the people. He knows what's going on. He wants to wipe them out, and Moses is praying for the people, don't wipe them out, O God. And don't leave us, we need you to go with us. And so in Exodus 33, verse 17, 18, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very things you've asked. Amazing! I'm going to do everything you asked me to do because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. So Moses praying for the people and God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to answer your prayer. But Moses isn't done. He says, and I find this amazing, now, show me your glory. So everything I prayed about, you've done, but I want a bigger prayer. I got a bigger prayer to pray. I want to see your glory, O God. And I believe God always wants to answer that prayer. Because this is a prayer not just for the things of God, the blessings of God, the answers of God, but this is a prayer for God himself. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see you, O God. That's what this prayer is about. And this morning, in a few moments, I want to invite us to pray, to try and pray some kingdom-sized prayers together. Now, I know that's not easy, not automatic for me. I'm sure not automatic for more of us. But I want to ask us to do that because I think as we do that, we start getting a vision for what God wants to do in our lives, but also in the lives of other people. So in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to gather with people around you, or maybe, you know, you want to move a little bit, however you want to do this, but in groups of 3 or 5 or 7 or 10, doesn't matter to me how big the group is. I'm going to ask you to gather with some other people. And you can gather with whoever you want to, but we have placed some leaders, some people to help lead these prayer groups. So I want to ask those leaders to stand up now, just so you know where they are. There's supposed to be leaders in every one of the sections here. So you see these people standing, you're welcome to go and gather with them. If you can't find people right around, just gather with them. So leaders, you can have a seat for a few moments. And so they're willing to lead you and help you in this time of prayer. But if you say, we got 3-5 people right here, we can pray together, that's totally fine. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a few moments is when you gather together, especially if there's a leader in the group or someone who's willing to lead the group, just find 1 or 2 or maybe at the most 3 things to pray about. So not lots of things, 1, 2, or at the most 3. Maybe something from the bulletin. Maybe something about our cities or our country or another country, one of our missionaries. Maybe somebody has a need in the group. That's totally fine. Anything is fine in terms of prayer to pray about. And then spend some time, 5, 6, 7 minutes, praying about those things. Praying kingdom-sized prayers about those things. And I want to ask you, if possible, if you're praying about something, allow, if possible, this is not a mandate, but allow at least 2 people to pray about that one thing. Sometimes, you know, we move from prayer request to prayer request so fast, I sometimes think, let's just spend a little bit more time on this one. Because I might have things to pray about it, but somebody else might, and their prayers are going to enrich my prayers about this particular thing. So if possible, allow at least 2 people to pray about that one thing. And then maybe we move on to the second or maybe the third. But I think 3 would be more than enough for this morning. Let me just give you maybe 1 more example. And I'm not trying to say I do this the best. I'm just trying to help us think about kingdom-sized prayers. So I'm thinking this morning about Paris and all that happened there this past week. As soon as I say Paris, I want to quickly jump and say, Paris, that was awful. There's also awful things going on in Nigeria, where I read hundreds of people killed. So I don't want to downplay Paris. I also want to say throughout the world, there are awful things going on. But I think about Paris, and I think we can pray, Lord, be with family and friends who are grieving. Be with a nation that's grieving. But I would also want to pray, let justice be done. And I'm not going to dictate what justice is, Lord, but we're calling out to you, the Prince of Peace, but also the God of this world. Let peace be restored. But I'd also want to pray for the Christian church there, for brothers and sisters in the Christian faith who have opportunity now, maybe in very small ways, to hold out the good news of Jesus Christ in a country that is reeling from what happened this past week. So we want to be praying about, I would say, the particular requests, people who've died and people who are grieving, but also justice. And Lord, may it not be a season of revenge in France. May that not happen, but maybe may the good news through the Christian church go out in that country, in that city. Maybe an opportunity, Lord, for you to work and move and draw people to yourself. So, let me invite you now, either with the leaders who stood up or with people around you, to gather in groups. Again, it could be 3 people, a very small group, or 5 or 7 or 10. And we're going to spend 5-7 minutes praying, hopefully kingdom-sized prayers for various things that will be mentioned in the groups. Yeah? Let's do that now.